Hello and welcome to The Big Fight. Well, this has been an interesting week in the world of politics, where all sorts of statements on ideology have come, not least from the Sat-Sanchalak of the RSS, Mr. Mohan Bhagwat. But also, of course, the left sweeping JNU elections, other elections have taken place where the ABVP has done really well, the Congress chipping in here and there. Brings an interesting question to mind. Are the youth really politically motivated and involved right now? Let's remember, in the elections that are coming up later this year, in the elections that are going to come up in 2019, that youth vote is really going to matter. What's going to drive the youth vote? Are the youth today essentially interested in other things, not least of which mobile phones and everything that happens on them? Or is there still a strong ideological connect, political connect? Do they care about politics? And if they care about politics, are they motivated more by ideology or by other things? That's essentially the question we're going to throw. And we've got a fantastic panel of some of the brightest people in student politics and analysts of student politics on the panel with us. And also a young audience whom we're going to try and get in to see what it is that really, really interests them more. Actually, I'm almost tempted to start off with a snap poll just for that before I introduce the guest. Okay, I just wanted to ask all of you. You are a youngish audience out here. By and large, all of you are young. I want to name a couple of things, and I want you to tell me if you are really interested in it. Raise your hands. Okay? Cricket. Okay. But not everyone. Hey, what are you guys doing? Bollywood. Bollywood. Okay, just about everyone. Technology. Virtually everyone, with the exception of some people down there. Politics.
Good audience.
All right. It's an interesting audience because they're interested in most of the things and almost in an equal ratio. So, okay.
I must say, wrong way of asking question in a survey.
Okay. I was waiting for him to say that. Okay, now we are going to get Sanjay at this point to say why that is the wrong random sampling and probably a not a fair audience as well. So let me actually introduce all our guests who we have with us. Sanjay Kumar, who's the director of CSDS, so you can understand why he thinks that snap polling like this is the most offensive thing that's ever happened since anything. Shivam Shankar Singh, political activist. Before we started, we're saying perhaps best known for resigning from the BJP not that long back, so great to have you with us. Shama Mohammed, spokesperson of the Congress Party. Shaila Rashid, one of the best known people, and certainly one of the most trolled people among young student politicians. So it's great to have you with us. Sandeep Mahapatra, well, standing next to Shaila, I think one of the things that he will be most known for was being the former ABVP president of the JNU Students Union. So you can probably discuss now that the left has swept this, how things have deteriorated from your point of view. It's great to have Rajneel with us. Rajneel Kamath is a digital media professional, looks at social media and everything that's happening, especially with the young. And it's Pradeep Bhandari, founder of Jan Ki Baat, been joining us most Fridays to tell us what's happening in the world of politics. So great to have you with us as well. All right. Now that, Sanjay, you have said this is an awful snap poll and not the right way to do it, with more, if you were to do it in a more scientific manner, what would you say?
No, we have very clear evidence. At CSDS, during last one decade, we have done three rounds of studies with a national representative sample of youth. And there's a clear trend that it's not that youth are not interested in politics. They are interested in politics. The interest in politics among Indian youth, and when I say Indian youth, the definition is between 17 and 22. It is on the rise. So this whole idea that the interest in politics among Indian youth is going down, at least from the evidences which we have gathered from the ground, I see that, no, there is an increase in interest in politics among Indian youth.
That's a strong statement to make. Increase in politics among... Because Indian youth have often had periods where they've been very interested in politics indeed. I mean, let's start all the way back at the freedom movement, where obviously it happened. But even later, there were spurts when there was, you know, there were long, strong leftist sentiments among the young people. The Naxalite movement, when it started off, quite often run from colleges and other things during the emergency. A lot of students got very involved and by the way, a lot of the present leaders of this government arose from ABVP politics. You're saying even today people are as interested in politics and even more so?
The reference point when I say there is an increase is the last one decade. Okay. But I'm not saying that it is an enormous increase compared to, say, if we look at 1977 or 1989, we don't have any data collected at the time of 1977 election or 1989 when V.P. Singh was leading the movement or at the time of Mandal Commission agitation. But if I look at one decade, then there is a clear trend that interest of the youth in Indian politics is on the rise. We don't see a declining trend.
That's a really interesting number. I mean, that's a really interesting thesis, and I would like to find out. We will analyze why. But let's first get everyone's take on whether that basis thesis is correct. And obviously, it will be picked up from anecdotal evidence. He's the only one who's done the surveys. Yep. What is your sense?
So I would say that the youth is very much interested in politics, and it is probably increasing just because they have more information now. With technology coming in, with Reliance Jio spreading, people are much more well informed about what's happening in the political world, and that gives you an opportunity to actually talk about it, engage with other people and express your views. On the other hand, this hasn't really translated into actual youth coming into politics in a big way. One of the major reasons is that there is no system. Like, most people just don't know that if I want to get engaged in politics, what do I do? Either, like, if you become a party karyakarta, then you put up posters, you put up flags. That's about it. It's not real political engagement. It's free labor, what parties see the youth has. So unless this changes, unless political parties come up with a way to engage the youth in a meaningful manner, it's all useless interest, even if it exists.
Okay. Interesting point. Rajiv, let me just get you in on this. He's saying that technology is actually getting more of the youth interested in politics because they have constant access to it and they can chat and talk about it. It's almost counterintuitive to what many people believe, who believe that because people have got phones, they're essentially spending that time, you know, on Facebook or Snapchatting or doing random stuff.
Yeah, see, interest in politics does not translate into support for an ideology. People like Bollywood here, they like technology, but that doesn't subscribe into what they like or what they dislike. People want to know what's happening. They want to know how it impacts them. We are young audiences. People in India are aspirational today. They want to grow. They want to succeed. They want jobs. And invariably, all of this has an impact. Politics has an impact on all of this. So you'll obviously see very interest rising. Of course, 10 years ago when the survey would have been done, there was no Twitter. There was no Facebook the way it is there today. We didn't even have 4G internet back then.
So I'm just trying to ask you, if you were therefore to do a study, let's say young people spending X amount of time, let's say on Facebook on a day or social media in a day, you would say, and based on whatever analysis you've done, they would be spending a decent enough time of that on politics?
It's hard to not escape any kind of content that's political either on Facebook or Twitter. So you will be exposed to
it. But on Twitter, I know.
It.
I'm going to ask Sheila about that. Yeah. Ask her.
It's, you know, trust me, it is really, really hard to escape content which is political on Facebook or Twitter. You can block as much as you want. It's going to come one way or the other. Because if you're not interested, your friend definitely is and is sharing. And we're forgetting WhatsApp. I mean, let alone our news feed. Someone's obviously sending you a video saying, hey, look what he said and look what she said in return. So it's obviously there, and it's a silent revolution, right? Your family groups, how many of y'all have political videos in your family groups, right? Mm. Look at that. Yeah. There you go. And that influence is going to be there everywhere.
Okay, that leads us to another related point, which is the ideological echo chambers that we're also getting locked into. Sheila, let me get you in. Are you feeling that, in general, a lot of people are really into it? Like when you walk down, but JNU perhaps not the best example, because JNU has always been fairly politicized, but if you were to walk down in Delhi University, would every person you meet know you and say, yeah, we saw you and we have X opinion or Y opinion of what you're doing or saying?
Certainly not every person, but I want to point out two things. First, there are two main things that have happened in the past, let's just say 8 years, that have actually created this rise in interest that Sanjayji pointed out. The first one is the use of social media. Now, the use of social media doesn't necessarily make you more critical, or it doesn't necessarily make you engage with higher quality in a higher, you know, like in a more qualitative way with politics. That's a different point. But what social media has done is it has had a democratizing potential. So earlier, as a youth, for example, I don't have any background. I had no way of questioning a minister. But today I have a Twitter account and I can actually tag the minister and I may even get a response. So social media has had a democratizing potential. No one can deny that. That is one thing. At the same time, there have been movements like the India Against Corruption movement. So before the India Against Corruption movement, you know, like even Congress, even UPA too, was a very like bureaucratic, top-down kind of machinery, which no one could actually access. No one had a way of accessing that. So India Against Corruption also taught the youth to how to question. And they didn't just question the Congress and the BJP. They later on also went to question the movement, the Aam Aadmi Party. Many of the volunteers in the movement, they even questioned the Aam Aadmi Party. They even questioned Mr. Kejriwal. So these two things, you know, having access to social media, where a lot of government ministers, where a lot of officials are directly accessible to you, and the India Against Corruption movement, the anti-rape movement, these were moments actually that taught the Indian youth, that taught this current generation actually to question. So that's what could possibly, sort of explain the interest in the spike in interest in politics.
There was the Mandal agitation. If you go back in history, you will find lots of examples of exactly what Shaila was saying. There were times when the youth really got involved. Mandal agitation being one major example, but it was largely a youth-driven movement, which then, you know, everyone went their own way and did things. How important would the youth be in your scheme of things when you're thinking about it? I mean, the Congress Party, of course, seems to be having a fight between the youth, and we keep hearing about it, between the younger generation and the older generation. And generation. I thought you wouldn't agree with me, but
of course I wouldn't, because Congress Party president clearly said that, you know, whether they are old or young, we have no Margdarshan Mandal here. Whoever is intelligent, whoever is capable, they will be used in the party. Now, you said a very important point. You said many leaders have come up from ABBP from those days. And why was ABBP allowed to come up? Because Congress Party was ruling most of the time in the earlier days. We are a very inclusive party, all-embracing party. We want everybody to grow. We do not want a BJP Mukt Bharat. Listen to me carefully.
Hang on. Can I just interrupt you in full flow? I'm talking about ABBP leaders coming up during the emergency when you were specifically arresting them and throwing them into prison.
No, you didn't say.
So that's a really bad example.
You did not say.
We want inclusive. We want everyone to come in. You banned the RSS and you took hold of those ABBP leaders I'm talking about, and you threw them into prison under the Maintenance of Internal Security Act.
So it's a bad example. No, you've said that the ABBP have. It's not just one period. It's throughout. We have been in power for a long time. If you look at it, you can't just take one emergency.
There was one period.
And 1980, Mrs. Gandhi was voted with a thumping majority. So then she shouldn't have been voted back to power also. So So what I'm trying to say is that
that's exactly the argument that the present government often uses to say it's fine. We're beating A, B, and C because we actually won the elections.
No.
The fact that she won doesn't make it
no,
right.
No, what I'm saying is she's also apologized. It's in the past. Let's not go back to that. What I'm trying to tell you is that
you were going back.
You mentioned something. So what I'm trying to tell you is that here these days the youth are afraid. You know what happened in JNU, all right? You know what happened in the Periyar Institute, in IIT, what happened. They couldn't continue. So you know what happened with Rohit Vemula. I mean, these days, if you protest in college, you police come in. They tell you you can't do things. Girls and boys are not allowed to meet. There are Romeo squads everywhere. What is happening? Congress never tells you what to eat, what to not to do, what, you know, you're not supposed to meet this person, you're not supposed. Yes, we are all adversaries ideologically, but we are not enemies. We are all one. You know, we are Indians at the end of the day. We can have different ideologies. So, of course, that is the problem, that there are limitations at this age and time where we are told, and in social media, suppose, for example, Shaila, she wants to say something. Gurmeet, the other lady, they can't because they are trolled. They're called a lot of names and they are said, we are going to come and kill you. So that is the problem
political
right now.
Political trolling is an interesting question that people turn to. Your take on what Shaila was saying essentially about the fact that young people, and even in college right now, I mean, they sometimes to express your opinions, you do get hauled away. And by the way, it's not, governments seem to be doing it all over the place. What happened this week in Odisha, for example, which was not necessarily to a left wing, it was to somebody who's often espoused right wing views. But it's not unusual to have people being dragged away for the views that they're expressing.
This is not happening for the first time. Just not,
which is not a justification.
I'm not justifying it. All I'm saying is government of any state has been doing this. Be it the UP, if you go to the CPM regime also, if you go to the TMC regime also, if you go to the BJD regime also, if you go to the TDP regime also, there is enough number of examples. But since today we are discussing about youth politics and interest of youth, forgive me for saying this, let's not look at from the urban perspective. After the constitution was amended and Panchayati Raj institutions were brought into picture, we need to remember that there are more than 5 lakh panchayats all over the country. And in those panchayats, the youths are playing a major role. And there are many examples. I have known students who studied in JNU, went back to his village, and he has become a sarpanch. A few years back, somebody from the LSR went back and became a sarpanch. So those issues, those examples also need to be taken into account when we are saying that whether or not youth are interested in politics, and it should not be urban-centric. we do a mistake by making it a Delhi-centric kind of a thing or a Mumbai-centric or a Calcutta-centric, but let's go to the grassroots. And in fact, at the grassroots, divorce of ideology or anything, people are doing good work, young people are doing good work, they are taking charge of their panchayat, and they are doing good work. And that is the good thing that has come about in India in the last 3 decades after the Panchayati Raj institutions came to the picture.
Just press the pause button on that thought for a minute before I get Pradeepan. I just want to check whether there's any data on this. He says, at the end, and it's an interesting theory, because if people do get into student politics and young people, and they find that helps them to make a positive impact, so they're actually able to go on and do something positive about it. You just start discussing that, okay, fine, maybe people are interested, but they can't actually go and do anything, but they can't join politics, they can't get into that. Are you finding any evidence of that?
See, when I mentioned earlier, I said the data which I'm citing is from a national representative sample, and I also agree that when we talk about Indian youth, we should not be looking at people who are sitting in the studio or the youth in Mumbai, Delhi, Calcutta, Bangalore. We have to think in terms of youth of three levels: village, small town, and the big metropolitan city. And I would slightly disagree. I'm not saying that youths in the villages are not doing good things. Yes, he gave some anecdotal examples. But the most happening place is the small town, not with regard to youth, but everything. Is it about anxieties, aspirations, politics? This is the small towns where you see a lot of aspirations among the Indian youth, whether it is with regard to entering politics or entering into a job market. So that's the place where, that's the most happening place, the small towns.
All right. Pradeep, you've decided to make it your life's ambition for the next 1 year to keep going to every place where there's an election and going and touring and meeting a lot of the people. When you did it, whether it was in Tripura or Karnataka, did you find the most amount of youth involvement? Where did you find it?
See, I've traveled 11 elections and tried to predict all of them correctly. What I've observed is that the excitement and the energy in the youth of the small town or the youth of the villages or the youth of the tier 2 and the tier 3 cities is much, much more than what you will see in a Delhi, Bombay, etc. So what Shama made an argument that, you know, there is a fear in the youth, that the youth is afraid. That's a very Lodhi Road argument for me, because when you travel outside Delhi, when you go ahead and go to Bhagalpur, when you go ahead and go to Bihar, different places, you'll actually find that there are real issues. There are issues of jobs, there are issues, certain issues of caste, there are aspirations to be realized. And these are the issues which the political parties were able to successfully tap, get the maximum percentage of voting. I'll tell you, in Karnataka, even in Karnataka or Tripura, you take them taking two different states. One is a very big state and the other is, say, somewhere in the northeast. I had in polling booths the youth lining up at 6 a.m., 7 a.m. to actually go ahead and vote. What has social media done is that it has provided a tool to provide conversations easier between your elected representative and me. But that does not make the task of politics easier, because ultimately the politics is all about going to the ground, getting the grassroots, getting the capital, getting that money to actually fight elections. And that is why individuals who might be in student politics may not necessarily convert that much into being an MP and an MLA. And if you get a data on that, I would see there is no direct correlation to it.
Okay. He is saying that this concept that is a lot of fear and people aren't being able to speak is more, what did he call it, a Lodhi Road phenomenon.
I'm not from Lodhi Road. I'm not from a political family. I'm not from a political family. I went on a debate, spoke against a BJP person, and I was threatened. I'm telling you, this was my experience. I was threatened online that my tongue would be cut, my nose would be cut. I had to go and file a police complaint. So this is my own personal experience. I am not from Lodhi Road. I don't live in Delhi. And I have family also in Kerala. I also go to villages there. People are right now scared in various places that they cannot express themselves. There are a lot of issues. I mean, I can ask you people that you can't express. I mean, you're told what to do. I can see a lot of heads saying, yes, they're told what
to do. Okay, Sanjay's about to get, Sanjay's about to have a cardiac arrest if I ask one more of these.
And before 2014, were you told what to eat, what not to do, how to think? That
has any politician gone to your house and told you that you should eat XYZ?
The politician don't have to go to the house. They read enough about it.
Ask them.
They read enough about it.
And also, don't you get WhatsApp messages?
Everyone wants to do my job for me. Can I ask
them? See, she's talking about certain fringe element which exists on the right and also exists on the left.
So why is fringe element not controlled by
I was traveling in Tripura. I was threatened. I filed an
FIR, there were people who supported me, right? So there, yes, you would have elements who
so
would
vociferate.
So you
didn't tell
that. So that does not make it a norm and make it mainstream.
Now the example comes up. He never spoke about the example when he was talking to you. When I
because
said that, he suddenly got
that.
An example in
Tripura. You're making me...
Yours is a Lodi Road example.
Why
was that book
acted by a Spanish author?
I'm the Bharat example.
The Red Sari was banned in India till the time your government was in power, UPA 1 and UPA 2. And what are you doing when Taslima Nasreen was beaten up in Hyderabad and she was hounded out of West Bengal?
Okay, so let's go to Taslima
since
you are
debating
now,
on a different topic, and if you want to debate, then I'll debate.
One second, can I?
As to what Congress did during its long reign in India.
Sudhir Nakulkarni and Vignesh, he was derobed. And Sudhir, they had
Mr. Kulkarni's face. Go ahead and ask Mr. Kulkarni whether he has any problem. He's enjoying and travelling to Pakistan, and there is no issues. You see, he travelled to Pakistan.
But
where is the fear?
One sec. The problem is they don't necessarily have a reference point, right? Because they, most of them look really, really young. How many of you would be would feel that you have a reason to be slightly scared about what you're eating and you're saying? There you have it.
See, this is what I've been saying.
But it has to be contextualized.
Contextualized.
Did you ask that was this fear there when the Congress was in power? They'll be too young to answer that.
Whatever it is, there shouldn't be a fear at all.
This cannot be a reference point.
Okay, one second. Shaila, let me come back to Shaila, because I was seeing Shaila looking at Shama when she was saying that this is what happened at the threat summit. She had that expression saying, is that all? You should see what happens to me on social media. Right.
You said that we should contextualize this. So just to contextualize this, during the Congress government, during the UPA too, I was involved in, say, anti-Section 66A activism. We were, doing activism against Section 377. We were involved in the anti-corruption movement, anti-rape movement. So there were a lot of things that we were doing at that time. But there's one thing. I mean, sure, there were lathi charges, etc. on 16 December protests, sure. The only thing that didn't happen is I did not have to worry about getting rape threats from the government supporters when the UPA 2 was in power, even though I was opposing the government on many counts, like including human rights abuse in Kashmir. I did not get rape threats from the government supporters. Today, even if I tweet a song, even if I'm totally, I'm not saying anything about politics, I'm not saying anything about the Prime Minister, I keep getting rape threats all the time. And at times they are from verified accounts that support the government. At times they are from the government's official spokespersons. At times there are things said by people like Abhijit, who actually called me a prostitute, and then Twitter had to suspend his account. That did not happen. So that's one big distinction that I would make as an activist. Yes, so there is an atmosphere of fear.
Is there also a slight extension of that it's become far easier to call people anti-national?
Yes, of course. Today, everyone is anti-national.
You are almost certainly a card-carrying member of the, what is it called, the Tukde
Deshdrohi
gang, or the...
Deshdrohi. Let's use the word Deshdrohi. Yeah. That sounds better.
What I'm trying to say is, I am against the current government. Mera to pata hai hai. Okay, I'm fair game. Sushma Swaraj ji, she's the Minister of External Affairs of this country. And I mean, when she gave a passport to a Muslim woman, she was abused and she was given rape threats, and her husband had to actually appeal to people to not do that.
And even her,
she's from the BJP, so anyone who is not supporting Modi and Amit Shah, people are actually scared. Not just like it's not some abstract fear; people are really scared.
And let's
let me just get this back into context. We're discussing young people and youth politics and youth activism. Now, okay, I get, and we have had innumerable discussions about what happens on social media, and is any of this? Mm-hmm. Curbing the involvement of young people, either in politics or in activism. Do you have any indication of that?
Yeah, I mean, I find this conversation on trolling a little bit overstated, I would feel. I'm not denying that it exists, but it happens across all sides of the spectrum.
Correct.
They are nameless.
No, but there is a major difference.
You get far more attacks.
It happens across all sides. They are faceless.
Just
they are
one second.
I actually have a question on this. They are faceless, nameless people.
I have 2 points.
And they are not faceless and nameless on the BJP side.
They are verified.
You can't help it when people are
not
getting
fired. Why does the Prime Minister
follow Gauri Lankesh's? Somebody who has been abusing Ms. Gauri Lankesh, she continues to follow
in no way an endorsement of his or her views. The Prime Minister follows Rahul Gandhi.
No, that's not.
The Prime Minister following or not following somebody has nothing to do with
following
the
actually does. Following Rahul Gandhi is not going to be clear. If you abuse people, if you spread fake news, then you get followed by the Prime Minister of the country. It's an encouragement.
Let's be clear on what a troll is. I really want to define this. Rajiv, I'll tell you something.
And I don't want to make this entirely about it. We're coming back to discuss youth politics.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something. I'm happy to put this up for beta testing. Take somebody completely, completely non-political, neutral, who's never had, who's not BJP, not RSS, nothing. Let that person put out a tweet today saying, I think Rahul Gandhi is useless. Right? See what the response is. Let that same person put out a tweet saying, I think Prime Minister Modi is useless. The amount of trolling attacks will come with the second one will be far more than the first one. That's the only point I'm trying to make.
Prime Minister Modi is not useless.
This is an example. Don't troll me for this. This is an example. Both sides.
Who are my friends and who are seen as nationalist journalists or supporting a nationalist view, they have been trolled. They have been
nationalistic journalists. By the way, I strongly object to this.
No, I'm not saying that.
People are saying that.
And there are journalists.
Why is it nationalistic to be ultra right wing?
Sorry?
Why is it nationalistic to be ultra right wing?
No, I'm not saying that. People in your fraternity who have given that jargon to those journalists.
Hang on. I dispute it. Just because somebody is ultra right wing doesn't make them nationalist.
But that is how they are seen. They have been given death threats. They have been threatened to death because they have espoused a certain kind of view. So my point is, social media.
So when this gentleman was arrested in was hauled away in Odisha, a lot of people condemned it.
Yes. So my point is, lots of people are there in the social media. Many things are said in the social
media.
The point is that should not be the determinative factor of anything.
I'll tell you. Go to Bengal, and write and say that I do not believe in Mamata Banerjee and Mamata Banerjee is fascist. I guarantee you that if you will be able to walk 5 kilometers, I'll give you a treat in Lodhi Road and with the Lodhi Road argument. I challenge you. Number one. Done.
I'm going to take you all on that.
See, what I'm trying to say,
It's on record, right? You all heard him?
Yeah.
You all heard him?
Come with me.
Five kilometers, fine?
5 kilometers in Eastern Bengal.
Fine. Sometime in the next 5 months, we will try it.
So what I'm trying to say...
Does it help if I can tweet it right now and go to Chitranjan Park?
No, you have to go. You have to go and say.
Okay, fine. Ladies and gentlemen, we are digressing. We are digressing a little bit. Let me just come back to the core of the issue. And the core of the issue again comes back to, I'm coming back to the youth. And like all this trolling and social media, we know this happens, that's fine. I want to come back to the core issue of the youth and their interest or involvement in politics. Or great that we are seeing student elections happening and it becoming a national headline and JNU, the left is winning and the ABP winning somewhere else. Do you think ideology still is an important factor in this? And again, Sanjay, I'm asking you this and we're going to throw it open. Because once upon a time, a lot of student activism and student politics used to be driven particularly by the cadre-based parties or the communists or RSS. The Congress used to have once upon a time a strong cadre also to that same extent. Is it ideology or the other factors?
I see a clear trend, Vikram. Till the time you are in student politics, ideology is very strong and ideology plays a very important role in the politics of when the student is engaged in student politics. But as soon as you grow in that, come out of the university and take it up as a, I'm not saying it's a professional career, but if you want to pursue politics and you spend many, many years in politics, as my friend was saying, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and then you keep doing small and petty job for the party and you see no future, I think ideology starts melting down. And beyond a point, ideology almost disappears and people are ready to, most of them are ready to take up any good initiative which comes to their way.
Okay, interesting point. I'm just going to quote two people who've been very active in JNU politics and see what they feel about it. Obviously, you've represented ISA, you've been an activist. What drives you? Is it ideology? Is it leftist ideology in what you believe in? Or is it
there are various different issues that get you exercised and therefore you want to...
So there's one important thing that happens when you are part of student politics, whether that's right-wing, left-wing, whatever it is. There's a lot of idealism, as Sanjayji said. And what that idealism does to you, it trains you to question. It teaches you how to question. And you question not only the government, you question your social traditions, you question patriarchy, you question casteist practices in your family, and you also question the party. So what happens is today, for today's youth, you know, today's youth are not just questioning the government. They're also questioning, if you look at Me Too, if you look at the movement in academics to question sexual harassment, they are also questioning the progressive circles, so-called. So today, it's not a matter of left or right. Today, for today's youth, it's a matter of right and wrong. So that's what the issue is today. Youth are differentiating between right and wrong. They are asking questions of everyone. And that democratizing potential has been brought by...
Is that not a too idealistic view? Is that, yeah. Is that in a small section
no,
of people?
No, there are old ideologies that are breaking apart and there are new ideologies that are forming. So it's a flux. So youth today may not necessarily be in a party, but they are politically involved because they are asking questions. They are signing petitions. And I'm not saying that, you know, signing petition is the same thing as standing for an election. But if you are signing a petition, if you are retweeting something, if you are posting something on social media, if you're taking a stance, that is the first step towards politics. And for a long time, this has been, you know, sort of called out as slacktivism or clicktivism. But I think that is just a ploy to discourage young people from coming to politics. So yes, whatever youth, you know, whatever little freedom we have because of social media, that should actually be used to question like every existing structure, not just the government.
Okay, Sandeep. What was that? Was it because of ideology? Was it because of the RSS and the fact that you grew up in there?
Yeah, because I grew up in that atmosphere. And the point is in JNU, since you are talking about JNU, I have seen many people using the JNU issue as a platform to what Sanjayji said. Later on, jump into another bandwagon. There have been various presidents who have, you know, gotten elected from the SFI. I don't know about ISA, but surely for SFI. That who have later on joined the Congress. But at the point in time when they are student activist.
By the way, that's okay. You're entitled to change your mind.
No, you are entitled, but since you are talking about ideology.
I mean, you just heard Mohan Bhagwat saying that as times change, you should be free.
I don't
to
have any issue in that.
You don't necessarily. No, Mohan Bhagwat saying we shouldn't necessarily follow what Guru Gobalkar said.
Has nothing to do with student politics. I'm talking about student politics and whether ideology is the driving factor. For some, yes, it is a driving factor for their entire life, but for some, it becomes a platform to reach out to other political platform or other political pasturing. And insofar as the student of today's day are concerned, or youth of today's are concerned. Mind you that AVVP, on today's date, is the largest student organization in the country. More than 50 lakh members are there in AVVP. So it is not only the political, you know, equations that somebody would be thinking. It is ideology also that makes people to join AVVP. And
does ideology become almost a problem for the Congress Party in youth, student politics?
No, of course not. The Congress Party has always been very clear with its ideology. It's an all-inclusive party. It wants to build an India with everyone, different castes, diversity, you know, all different religions. So it's always, and it's a secular India. It's for all in for everyone. So Congress Party has never been confused with its ideology. Now, I came into the Congress Party because I believe in this ideology. I've been with this ideology from a long time. So Congress Party has no dearth of people joining. There are lots of people knocking, youngsters coming to us because they are worried about the atmosphere right now. Another thing I noticed after 2014 is because of all these WhatsApp messages which has been circulated, the youth also have become very extreme. Like, you know, they are either you want to hurt someone, harm someone. There is no in between. You know, there's no, the tolerance of youth has gone down is something which I have personally seen myself.
Okay. Do you agree with that? Yeah, far more intolerance now?
No, I think there was a CSDS poll which said India has become more liberal than compared to 10 years ago. But I agree with Shaila when she says...
Is that true?
It was published last year.
India has become liberal now?
No.
It was in Hindustan Times.
That would surprise me a bit.
Yeah. I'm shocked.
It surprised me. It shocked me.
This is an article which is in Mint. It says, has the rise of BJP made India's youth less liberal? And it says, no, India has become more liberal in the rise of the BJP. And I think this has also been... It says, a 2016 CSDS Lok Niti survey shows... Sorry, I'm only quoting from where Sir is there. But I'd agree with Shaila when she says that it's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. Our ideological constructs today are too rigid when it's far more complex. I can be against cow slaughter, but I may support LGBTQ rights, right?
Yeah.
We're so focused on trying to box people into, oh, you're lefty, you're Congi, you're Sanghi. You just have to be any of these three. You can't be in between. And if you're called all three of that, then I think that's a good place to be in. Yeah. I'm one of them.
Trust me, I know. I've been called all three at various times. Sometimes in the same 1 hour. So that's fine. All right. Let me get you in.
See, Vikram, first of all, I believe that the whole hypothesis of the discussion should not just be DU and JNU. You need to travel to the universities in, say, Bihar, in Karnataka.
So are they ideological or are they not?
No, ideology plays an important role. It's not something which completely drives an individual. Individual also looks for solutions to issues. That is also an integral part because there are different components which form the personality of the individual. At places, it's the ideology which drives. At places, it is the issues which drive. So if you categorize it into a black and white, I think it's a very naive conclusion to make. So okay. I'm just trying to say that if we have this debate, say, somewhere in Bihar or Patna, from where you have individuals like Jagjeevan Rao coming up, Lalu Prasad Yadav coming up, so-called Nitish Kumar coming up, or go to Karnataka, you have the other leaders coming up, go to Tamil Nadu, you have other leaders coming up. So the whole hypothesis cannot be based on student activism in two universities. One more point. Second point, as per this survey only, you had youth supporting the BJP's ideology vis-a-vis left 900%, 900 times more. That's the whole thing.
That's again Sanjay Singh.
So,
where are all the facts coming from?
The point is, I'm trying to say,
misquoting has become.
I tell you why.
This is misquoting.
I'm predicting 11
times. Can you get him to talk about it for a minute?
But let me also interpret it. 20% is what he said.
His survey for him.
Surveys are open to interpretation. 20% is what he asked.
Wait a second.
Allow me freedom of expression. 10 seconds of freedom of expression, then you can counter me. 10 seconds of freedom of expression, please. 10 seconds of freedom of expression.
10 seconds.
20% is what when he had asked that the people support the BJP RSS ideology, and 2% is what they had asked that they support the left ideology. You do the maths and you'll get it. Yeah? All of us have passed 12th class.
First, on the question of whether when we were discussing a minute ago that about are people feeling unsafe, the youths are feeling unsafe, it's very clear. We have asked this question a couple of times and the question is very simple worded. Do you think you feel constrained about expressing your opinions now compared to the past? And a lot of people are saying, yes, now we feel more constrained about expressing our opinion. This is among the youth, also among other sections of the society. About this
can
whole,
I get you to interpret your own survey? Both Pradeep and Rajneel will express views about your survey, which you might want to answer one way or the other.
No, I don't think that our survey anywhere indicates that India has become more liberal now compared to the past. I think the data which is cited.
Is there a sharp surge in support for the BJP as opposed to the others?
Take the document.
You're quoting his own surveys to him. One person had an iPad saying this is what you said, and another person had a mobile phone saying this is what you said.
You don't even show anything on the newspaper.
Hang on. This is the problem with 2018. He will believe his iPad, he will believe his mobile phone, and we are the actual human being out here.
I'm quoting it from the document. I'm not doing any fake news. That's the interpretation.
The man stands here. He doesn't answer.
The man is standing up. Personally, I'll always still believe the human being. So can you please answer him?
Okay, it's fine.
At least for now, I will believe the human being.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
AI, but it's
ridiculous. Here's the document.
Because the man is here, my dear.
Please take it.
If you're saying that the survey indicates that India has become more liberal, I don't think this is a right interpretation of the data. But if you ask, if you do a survey of 100 people, and if you divide what kind of opinions different sections of these 100 people believe, then you might find that liberals are still more compared to hardliners. You cannot interpret that India has become more liberal now if you don't have a comparative data. So this is a misinterpretation of the data.
Okay, press the pause button. Let me go to all these people out here. They're still human beings. Any of you holograms? You're all here, real humans? Okay, great. Good to hear it. Who has a question or a comment? Better still a comment. Yeah, gentleman there.
I believe that the youth is not aware about the meaning of politics. Please clear us, what is politics? Is it about doing good work for the people or just fighting between the leadership or opposition parties?
All right, that's a good, very good question. So good, I want to clap for you. All right, somebody else has a comment. Yeah, the gentleman there, then the lady here.
Every day I used to go to JNU and meet many persons, many scholars there. I find that no one is afraid. So my question is that, who is afraid, where and why?
Who's afraid, where and why? Good point, okay, here.
So 2 days back, there was this video about my college, JNU, so about the AVBP and the violence that went on. And India TV had put on a little clip, and I had commented there saying, why are you spreading fake news? Because it was fake. I saw it with my eyes. I'm a witness. And so I got 3 messages from that YouTube comment that I had made about how they would like to do my mom and how I should die because I did not support their views. So I don't think nobody has become a liberal. I don't think that we have the freedom of expression at all, at least not ladies.
Wow, that's a... All right. That's really shocking. That's really shocking. Okay.
It's to the Congress spokesperson. We're talking about youth politics. We're talking about the expression of youth here. But I want to ask, how much of an expression is it when we when there is an internal discussion in the Congress party and when the prime ministerial candidate is chosen? Are there not more people, more well-read people that can be at the position? Our opinion matter?
We have people from JNU raising the slogans, Bharat Tere Tukde Honge, Inshallah, Inshallah. And we are saying that we are scared. We have people abusing the prime minister on a daily basis. And we are speaking that we are scared. I'm sorry, I don't agree with this at all.
Okay. Fine. He's saying nobody is scared if somebody can say that.
There's an ex-BJP member here who himself says that the videos were doctored, so I don't really have to answer that.
Vikram, you can just Google this.
Everyone gets their final say, one at a time.
Let me complete, please. The young gentleman over there, he asked a question. He said, that's true. As a woman in JNU, I'm not afraid. I can go out at 4 a.m. I can wear whatever I want. Yes, I'm not afraid. But you asked who is afraid. I'll tell you what. When I board a metro train and someone calls me and someone says Assalamu Alaikum on the other side, I do not say Wa Alaikum Assalam because there is a real danger of getting lynched today. If on Eid, we have to distribute Quran. Let her finish speaking, then she'll answer. They don't let us talk. When people have to distribute Qurbani meat on Eid, they don't travel across streets because they may be lynched on a train, they may be lynched on a highway because they are carrying meat in their cars. Even if it's mutton, even if it's chicken, it doesn't matter. Today, the fear is not just on social media. The fear is not that I'll be trolled. The fear is that I'll be lynched. And many Muslims now, using the Ola, when they use the Ola app, when they use the Uber app, they change their names. They don't use Muslim names because they don't know when they'll be attacked. Many Muslims today, in situations where they have to be anonymous, they actually hide their names, they hide their identity because they don't want to be lynched. Many Muslim men are shaving off their beards because they don't want to be lynched on a train. That's where the fear is. So the fear is not just on social media. The fear is actual. The fear is real.
Okay, now you're allowed to answer.
Two things that needs to be pointed out. Number one, insofar the JNU incident of 2016 is concerned, the police is investigating. An incident did happen.
Why are they still investigating? Why haven't they filed a charge sheet?
Madam, may I? The incident was repeated again in DU.
You're defending your own institution. No, it's not good.
I'm not denigrating. I'm stating the fact.
You and your defense minister.
I stood for JNU in those times. You wanted to save yourself in the name of JNU because you did the wrong thing.
File a charge sheet against me.
That will be filed.
You are in government.
Secondly. Secondly, insofar as the incidences of lynching are concerned, nobody is supporting
it. Ram Mandir will be built, charge sheet
Yes, Ram Mandir will be built. Yes, Ram Mandir will be built.
You have to tell me, charge sheet will be filed.
Madam, you will go there.
You just keep defaming JNU. You never say that the charge sheet will be filed.
Point is, in the last 4 years, and I'll give you 3 instances. During the Bihar elections, there was an intolerance brigade. There was an award of C Brigade which came into picture after that to vanish in thin air.
After the Aklak lynching, which was supported by Union Minister
Madam
Mahesh Sharma. He gave a tribal funeral.
Churches were vandalized and the government was blamed. RSS was blamed. Something happened, somebody gets killed. Who is to be blamed first?
Union
RSS. Without any investigation. One, we are saying that yes, tukde gang does exist in JNU. They don't agree.
And
they
say
that they are in
fear.
And there is not a single day which goes in this country where the Prime Minister, the entire Council of Ministers, the RSS, or for that matter, any organization related with RSS, is taken to task in the social media. And they are still talking about...
RSS men are convicted in blast cases. What are you saying?
And they are still talking about being in blast cases. The examples that Madam gave, Please, if that is happening, I am telling you, you are an activist.
Please
go
fire
to the nearest
him.
Police station.
Please
go
fire
to the nearest
Mahesh
police
Sharma.
Station and file an FIR.
Why is Mahesh
go
Sharma
to the police
still
station
holding
and file an FIR.
Why
you
is
have lawyer from your
still
side. You have lawyer from your side.
Why is
you
Mahesh Sharma
the
still holding
the Supreme
a ministry?
Court at 2 o'clock at the night.
Why is
go
Mahesh Sharma?
Go and get those
why
lawyers.
Why did Mahesh Sharma put a tricolor on a lynching accused?
To file an FIR for you.
Why did Mahesh Sharma put a tricolor on a lynching accused?
Or you are in fear
why
of something.
Why did Jayant Sinha put a garland around a lynching convict?
Okay, wait. Pradeep, nobody can hear what he's saying because you are talking.
Mahesh
Sharma, now, Shaila, one second. One at a time now. One at a time.
No,
one at a time. Everyone finishes. Last.
Ma'am, please calculate the amount of time.
Seconds.
I have not spoken the maximum,
please. 15
seconds for everyone. 15 seconds.
And I was 300 MPs.
15 seconds and nobody's interrupting
first
now.
First of all, please go ahead and study statistics and data. The amount of beef export in India is the largest in this world. If people were not allowed to eat or they were lynched for doing beef, then that export would not have happened. Please, let me speak. Number two, specific anecdotal evidences which she has quoted, I absolutely equally condemn it. But please understand, in this country, for the first time, the triple talaq thing has happened, where triple talaq has been made anti-constitution, the government has got ordinance. She did not speak about it.
I want to come on that.
You go ahead and see that. Please understand that. Let's be clear on this.
All over the place now.
Please, what I'm trying to say, see, any amount of threat, etc., or say a killing which happens on the basis of religion, anything, that's absolutely wrong. But please don't generalize specific anecdotal evidences, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay,
and
we've
please,
said
and
it
in
now.
This, you, it's not about the, you know, the Bharat Tukde Tukde slogan only raised inside the JNU. You go ahead and see, this time when the left unity candidate was fighting, he was having the placard of Afzal Guru, and you had the Supreme Court of this country open for Afzal. That is the amount of liberalism you have in this country.
Okay.
You can't have more liberalism.
Okay.
Who hung Afzal Guru?
Okay, fine.
Now, that's the question you need to ask.
Now one
it was the Congress Party.
Where are we
not
going
them.
In this debate? We're discussing youth politics now. From Afzal Guru to wherever we are getting to, I'm not sure. Can we, last word from you, 15 seconds to go.
I just hope that after this debate, people who go back from here don't switch off from politics or social media and they continue doing what they're doing without any fear
you.
And go ahead with what you're doing.
I need to answer that.
Okay. No, you don't need to answer.
Because the Congress president, she had asked, I want to answer that there was an election. He became a president after the election. Now here, Mr. Amit Shah was appointed. Nobody knows that. There is no internal election. He was appointed. And he's being given an extended term. Nobody, why was he given an extended term? He's not supposed to give an extended term.
Okay.
And
why?
Also,
family has been holding that post since
we
ages.
We also
the last
want the Tukde
Tukde
gang to be investigated. And, you know, the Delhi police comes under the central government. So, charge sheet, find out. We all want to know who said that to our country.
Fine. Second last comment.
So what I would like to say is that I've been working in direct politics for the past 3-4 years at least. All of this talk about ideology is actually a distraction. This anti-national, national, urban Naxal, all of this is to distract from what the true agenda of a government should be, that is development. Whenever there is an economic indicator that comes out, another lynching instance takes over the news. All of these things are designed to distract people. All of the parties who represent an ideology, none of them represent a positive one. Either the ideology is very caste-based, ki this is the caste that we will favor, no matter what. There are some which favor a specific religion and say that we will do things for just this religion. That is the ideology. If you look at economic ideology, there is none. Everyone in this country is a socialist. Every party will be socialist. They will give out freebies. There will be no free market party that says we'll end all subsidies and we'll stop doing any kind of welfare activity and let the free markets operate. Not going to happen. So all of the ideology talk is absolute nonsense. Do not fall for it.
No ideology. It's all politics, I think, is what he's pretty well summed up by saying.
Politics should be based on issues. It should not be based on ideology at all.
Okay, fine. Last quick word from you, Sanjay, to wrap this up.
I think political parties have realized the strength of the youth. Youth have played an important role in bringing about major changes in country's politics. And I did mention earlier about 1979-89. And that is why there is a concentrated effort by political parties to mobilize the youth. We have seen that happening in 2014. And I expect many more political parties to try and capture this segment of the population, this segment of the voter, which cuts across caste, religion. And I hope this parties move in this direction.
All right. So, look, we've sort of gone all over the place. But I think it's been a really, really interesting discussion where many, many of the issues that are really exercising the young people of the day
actually came to the fore. Should they get into politics? Should they be politically involved? Should they be active on social media? And hey, should they be scared in any way of expressing their views? You can make up your own mind at the end of the day from watching what everyone said, which after all should always be the intention of any good debate. You're watching The Big Fight. We'll be back next week. Bye for now.